All right, do we have everybody?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, do we have everybody? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hold on a second. Hello?
Hi?
Hi, okay. Now we just have to get Bob to call in. Sorry, you guys. I don't know if you realize I live in San Ramon, and we've had swarms of earthquakes in the last 3 days. We've had like 300 earthquakes, and we've had some that are quite big. And I think this has affected my internet access because I haven't been on. So let me tell Bob to call in. Sorry, ladies. So sorry. Okay. So I had major foot surgery a week and a half ago. So I have not had to log on to my computer. I've just been using my phone. And so I think we've had, like I said, we've had all these earthquakes. I think that probably why I wasn't able to get on, my internet access wasn't coming on.
Wow.
Okay, come on, Bob.
And I'm going out to my car right now. My charger isn't working, so I'm going to plug into my phone.
We're all in
the garage.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have fun on the show, though, ladies. I promise.
Oh, man. There's so much stuff going on. I can't even keep up with it.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even. We will have a lot to talk about. Believe me.
Yeah, especially no boots on the ground, right?
Oh, my God. And I have a bad foot, and I would still go out there and kick some butt, even with one foot.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that debate was just ridiculous. I mean, they're just getting more. Were you guys there for the debate?
No, not that one.
Okay. Did you cover any of the ones other than the one that
I covered the Democrat one in Vegas.
Oh, okay. How was the turnout for it? Was it anything like the Reagan?
No. I wrote an article for Politichicks about it, and it was ridiculous. I mean, half of the press room was empty.
You're kidding.
No. Nobody really cared. They honestly didn't care because the whole vibe that I got from the entire place was that it was a done deal, it was a setup, Hillary Clinton's the nominee, why are we wasting our time? I mean, that's really what I got from it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was crazy. Even Debbie Wasserman Schultz was walking down the aisle right before the debate. She was walking right past me by the spin room. And I heard her and her posse.
Hi there, ladies.
Hi.
Yeah, we're waiting.
Good morning.
Oh, are we all hooked up now?
Sorry.
No, wait, hold on, Bob. Is everybody hooked up? Did you get your charger set up? Is everybody good?
Yep, I'm in the garage. It's quiet here.
You're in the garage. I think Bob.
I'm in the garage. That's where I'm at too. I'm in the garage too. So I was banished to the garage years ago, and this is like my man pit over here.
No, it's a man, not a man hole. It's a man cave. That sounds bad, Bob. Man hole.
There you go. Oh, that's right.
That means something else.
Okay,
Morgan, are you here in LA or are you in Dallas?
Yeah, I'm here in LA. I'm heading back to Atlanta next week.
Okay, so let's get some stuff going here. I know we have a lot to talk about. So there are
Maureen, if I can interrupt you just for a second. It sounds like you're in the background. Is there something you can do to tweak your microphone at all?
Is that any better?
That's a little better. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I'll talk closer to my microphone. Okay, so there's four of us. We have two guests, and then Bob and I will be hosting. So sometimes it gets a little bit crazy when there's four of us. So somebody's got to sometimes step in and say, okay, wait a minute, we got to, you know, get the show going. So, okay, so we have with us Morgan, Brittany, and ladies, forgive me, as I said, I had major foot surgery, so I've kind of been in a coma for the last week and a half. So, thank you, Bob, for getting this show going. This Bob did all the work for this. So the show will air, will go live today at 4 o'clock on LA Talk Radio, and we hope that you guys will promote it. We'll send you the edited link, and we hope that you ladies will promote it as well on your site. We should get really good. We should get really good hits for the show.
Oh, good,
since
great.
Since I put the show together, is my check in the mail, Maureen?
Yeah, you sound a little bit, Bob. You sound there's a little bit of static.
Okay, how's that? Is that a little bit better?
Yeah, I'm getting static too, you guys. So it could be winds, it could be anything.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it sounds pretty good, but Bob, you're not wireless, are you? Or if you are, you're not doing the one that you've got your plug in, right? Are you plugged in?
Yeah, no, I got. Yeah, definitely. So okay. Let me.
Actually, that sounds better. Okay. If you just
is that
did
better?
Something.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have Morgan, Brittany, and who else? I'm so sorry. Who?
Anne Marie Murrell.
And then we have Bob and I. Okay, so as Morgan and I were just chatting a little bit about the we have so much to talk about. We have so much to talk about with, you know, no boots on the ground. It's the most recent debate. Morgan and Anne Marie, were you there as well at the Brittany debate at the Hillary?
No,
Wright.
I was in Oklahoma. I was speaking in Oklahoma, and then I was in the Gardner movie, so I wasn't able to get that one.
Okay, so Morgan's going to be our go-to. Anything special you guys want to talk about? Bob and I will do our intro, then we will say that we have you two on from Politichicks, and I'm going to say, ladies, tell us all about what you do, who you are, and how you do it. So I love to let the guests, especially such dynamic women as yourself, describe what you do and talk about yourself, because nobody can talk them up better than yourselves, right? So we'll let you guys sort of take it from there, what you do, introduce yourself, blah, blah, blah. And then we're just going to go into a conversation. You know, we're just going to kind of like go into a conversation about what's been going on. And hopefully one of you will bring up something that's really bothering you this week. Well, and, you know, we'll just make it's not going to be hard because there's so much to talk about. Okay?
Okay.
Anne-Marie and Morgan, would you could you also mention your book? And I think that was
sure.
I really like it. Yeah, please mention your book and where to find it and talk a little bit about it and how you guys got together and collaborated with that. I know you have a third author as well.
So that's part of how I want them to introduce themselves, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. And how long do we have? I need to find out how long do we have you ladies for? How long do you have?
I have to be out of here. This is Morgan. I have to be out of here by 10:30. So I've got like 45 minutes.
Okay.
Perfect.
And Anne-Marie, do you have about the same?
I don't have that long. I've got to be somewhere else in about half an hour. So. Maybe 20 minutes for me.
Okay. So when it comes, Anne-Marie, will you watch your time? Since we're doing this ourselves, we don't have our producer or anything. So if you watch the time and you let us know, you know, thank you very much. I need to, and we'll thank you for being on, and then we'll continue. And then Bob and I will end the show. So you guys don't have to stay.
Okay.
So we're going to
start.
I have 9:44 right now. I'd like to go at I'd like to go at 9:45 if you don't mind. I'm kind of anal that way. There we go.
Okay.
So ladies, hold tight. Bob, you and I are going to do our regular intro, and then we're going to bring these fabulous ladies on with us. So here we go.
Awesome.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. My name is Maureen Enner, and I am your Northern California connection.
And good afternoon, San Francisco. My name is Bob Lang, your Southern California connection.
And together, we are your California connection. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. You know what? Tomorrow is Halloween, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's always my favorite holiday. And you know, it's nice that it's on a Saturday, too, because, you know, there's going to be lots of parties going on. There's going to be lots of kids coming around, and I get to put my scare mask on freak all the kids out when they come and get candy up at my door tomorrow.
Well, you're scary without a mask, Bob.
well, that's true. But I mean, I get it even scarier with my scare mask on. So it's always a lot of fun. I always used to, you know what? It's my favorite holiday because I always used to when my kids were little, get dressed up along with them too. You remember the movie Mr. Mom when Michael Keaton was the Mr. Mom and
yeah.
he would
yeah.
get dressed up for Halloween. Yeah. Same deal. I'd get dressed up. I'd have better costumes than my kids.
Well, I used to dress up as Morgan Brittany. I tried to be Morgan Brittany when I was in high school.
Speaking of Morgan Brittany
and Anne-Marie, we have Morgan Brittany and Anne-Marie with us. They have started their own, how would you call it, business? They're a movement. They've started their own movement, Politichicks.
I love
Please welcome Morgan Brittany and Anne-Marie Mural, and I'm going to let you ladies tell us what you've done, all about your books, everything you're doing.
Okay. You want me to take it away, Anne-Marie?
You go for it, Morgan.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. For those who do not know who I am, I spent most of my life in Hollywood as an actress, starting in the 1950s and doing television shows. And in the 80s, I was on a little show that nobody remembers called Dallas. I was on that show from 1981 to 1987 and continued on and did movies, films, worked with Alfred Hitchcock, worked with Lucille Ball, Henry Fonda, Gene Kelly, Mickey Rooney, you name it. Was on the Andy Griffith Show, a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm really had a career, you know, a very, you know, I did okay as an actress for many, many years. And I decided as I got older, because there's really not a place in Hollywood for very many older actresses. Some can move into character roles like Betty White. Older actresses can move on. But if you're not, if you were seen as a more, I don't know, kind of a glamorous type actress, it's very hard to age in Hollywood. And so they kind of move you out and there's no room for you. So what I did is I decided that I was going to turn my interests in another direction. And I had always been, you know, basically a Republican conservative in Hollywood and always had to keep my views quiet, because Hollywood is a very liberal town and you dare not make your opinions known if you're a Republican or a conservative. And so for many, many years, I sat in silence listening to the left and their agendas, and I didn't say anything. And I finally decided that when I took a retirement from show business that I would get into politics and start speaking out on behalf of America and the veterans. And I had nothing to lose anymore, basically, because I wasn't looking to Hollywood to get a job. And so I'm really going to get out there, and I'm going to step up to the – and John Voight was doing it at the time. Gary Sinise was starting up an organization. There were very few conservatives speaking out in Hollywood. But I started appearing on Fox News. To make a long story short, I got into Politichicks with Anne-Marie Mural and Dr. Gina Loudon. Actually, Anne-Marie started this whole thing, and it's a website, and it's a fabulous, fabulous connection movement for women across America, not only women but men as well. And we've got, you know, thousands, maybe up to a million views, and people who look at our website all the time read our articles. We speak across the country. We do a lot of things to promote America, and we get the word out. And we're not afraid to say what we feel. You know, we're one of these people that just sets the barn on fire. So that's what we're doing now. Anne-Marie can tell you about our book that came out, but basically that's where I am these days, fighting for America, fighting to get us back on the right track, becoming frustrated, but trying to hold people, you know, how, trying to hold conservatives up and saying, let's not give up. So that's kind of where we are right now. And I'll let Anne-Marie take it from there since I already said everything.
Well, go ahead. Before you step in, Anne-Marie, I was going to say, you know, Morgan, you're very extremely modest about your acting career. I think you were far more than good. I think you were just exceptional. You're one of the best actors, actresses on the series, and which is probably why you got so many roles thereafter. So.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to be her for Halloween. I mean, come on.
Hey, listen. I was the biggest Halloween costume for the drag queens in the 80s. It was unbelievable.
I wasn't a drag queen, but I wanted to be you. Oh, my God. I wanted to buy the blue contacts, which at the time were horribly expensive, and my mother was like, absolutely no way. But, you know, everybody I knew, because we all came of age in the 80s, wanted to be Morgan Brittany. Now,
oh,
Anne-Marie,
my God.
What is your background? And tell us how you hooked up with Morgan. Hi, Anne-Marie. Did we lose you?
I'm here.
We're just talking about Morgan Brittany, how she became.
No, I can hear you.
Know,
I didn't want you to hear me in the car.
Okay. No problem.
I wanted to jump in about Morgan as well. She started out as a child star too. She's someone who is one of the, she's a handful of people. I don't even know if there's a handful who started out as a child star, was successful in her teens and her 20s, and she had a successful career her entire life. I don't even know if I can name one other really successful actress or actor who had that kind of a life and that kind of career that didn't end up being a drug addict or dead. I mean, that's Morgan, and she's one of the most wonderful people I've ever known in my whole life. I know a lot of other women who are divas, and probably that's the way Morgan probably should be, and she's not. I mean, she's just the most amazing person, one of the most amazing people I've ever known in my life. I met her because my sister is one of her fans too, and saw her on an airplane in Burbank and talked to her, told her about, my sister knew that Morgan was a conservative, and so she somehow linked us together. I'm not even sure, Morgan, I don't remember how my sister got us together, but somehow it happened.
She met me on an airplane.
Well,
remember?
I know, but I don't think she got your phone number or anything. I don't even know how I got that myself. But somehow we ended up being just great friends, and now we've been working together for many years, and I'm just blessed beyond all measure to be surrounded by so many really great politichicks. And yeah, we wrote our book together, What Women Really Want, with Dr. Gina Loudon, who is on Fox News pretty much every day now. And the three of us, we around the country, and we try to encourage activism and get people involved and let them understand that no matter what your gifts and talents, they're needed today in America to help save our country.
Anne-Marie, you know what I was
going to
say?
Speaking of how we met one another, when we met, Bob and I met you at the Reagan Library at for the 2015, the GOP debate, you talked about the three Fs that women want. Tell us what the three Fs are.
Faith, freedom, and family. So that pretty much summarizes everything that Morgan, Dina, and I are about. And it comes from God, and it comes from a love and the need to protect our families. And freedom is a result of that. So those are the three Fs.
You know, I was going to say, Anne-Marie, that when we first met you guys, you were walking around in the in the spin room area, and I was talking with Maureen. She was facing me, and I could see Morgan right behind. And you know, she had that. You know, I was just kind of add to what you had mentioned about her is that she has that, you know, warm smile, that face that mm-hmm. just lights up the room. And, you know, I said to Maureen, I said, you know, behind you, that's Morgan Brittany. It's, you know, from Dallas fame. And she's here talking about politics. And we walked up to you guys, and it was just such a wonderful introduction. And it's almost as if we were talking, and we'd been friends for years and just had this great conversation. And it's all led up to this talk today. So just, you know, you're absolutely right, 100%. She does certainly exudes some of that radiance and energy and passion. We see it.
Yes, and it's real, yeah.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you,
no
guys.
Kidding.
Enough about me.
We love you.
Well, let's talk about the three F. They are very important. They are at risk. We are at risk of losing each and every one of them. Do you ladies agree?
Oh, yeah, yes. There is no doubt about it. I mean, they are putting... You look what they're doing to our faith. They're trying to demonize our faith. They're trying to take away Christmas. They're trying to do everything they possibly can to just demean religion in any way, shape, or form that they can. Our freedoms they're taking away from us every single day. People may not see it because it's a slow process, but in the past 7 years, it's speeded up enormously. Family, look what they're doing to family. Common Core in schools is separating children from their parents because their parents can't help them do their homework or can't figure out anything that they're doing anymore. They want to do cradle-to-grave education now. I read that on the Internet this morning that the Zuckerbergs want to do that, so they want to take your children completely away and indoctrinate them. They're breaking up the families. They don't really care about the family structure anymore. That's why we have so much poverty. That's why we have so much unrest in the inner cities, because the families have broken down. So Anne Marie and Dr. Gina and myself are trying to tell people, look, we got to get back to the basics. We've got to fight against these people that are taking everything away from us. And we're not getting very much help in Washington these days. We're not. They're fighting against us, our own party. And it's very frustrating because we, the people, are the voice, and they are just ignoring us completely.
It's only the people that it's the select people that they want to hear from. They don't want to hear from everybody. They only want to hear from their party, their select party.
That's right.
And I blame a lot of that. This is Anne Marie again. I blame a lot of that on decades that we were proudly the silent majority. I mean, while we were silent and thinking, oh, well, we're just going to vote these people out, they were never silent. They spoke for us. And even today, I was not today, but I mean, now in this, where we are now with after the years of the Obama administration, a few years ago, it was strongly suggested to me, I'll put it that way, from a very high up in the California Republican Party, that if I wanted to go further in my career, that I needed to tone down the quote unquote social rhetoric. So they don't want us to talk about things like immigration and abortion or anything that actually matters to people. And my answer to that every time is, if we don't talk about social issues, if we don't speak out and explain our stance, who's going to explain our stance for us? The same people who've been telling people who we are for decades. So that's the reason why someone like Donald Trump became so instantly wildly popular, because he was expressing out loud on national television his stance on immigration, even though it was maybe crass and maybe he didn't say it correctly. That's part of why people are flocking to people like him, because we were told for like I said, decades, not to even speak about social issues at all. And that's got to end, because that's the only thing the left talks about are social issues.
Yeah, and you know what, Anne Marie? I can tell you, way back in probably 1993, I was raising funds for a congressman in California, And I, you know, Dick Armey and I think another couple of representatives were there, and they came over to me at the end of the night and they said, why don't you run? You have name recognition, and in your district you could run, you could win. And I said, guys, I don't think you would like what I would, what my platform would be. Oh, yeah, 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 it would be great. And I said, no, you don't know what it is. I said, for one thing, I'd shut down the borders right now. I'd close the borders and say, we're closed until we fix our problems. And I said, and I have very strong beliefs. And right at that moment, they backed off a little bit and went, well, you know, we really can't be that harsh on those issues. And I said, well, that's what I stand for, and that's what I believe. So I don't think I'm right to run for office if you guys aren't behind me. And they said, well, you know, you have to get the money behind you, and if you're that adamant about those issues, you're not going to get the funding from the Republican Party. So I knew right at that point there was no point in me ever running for office, because I believe in certain things that this state needs, that this country needs, and they didn't buy it. That was back in 93. So, Anne Marie, you're absolutely right on what you're saying, and that's how it is, and it's really unfortunate.
You know, you raise a great point there, Morgan. I think in today's world, what is one of the biggest issues that is being brought up is what you talked about with the border, securing the border, putting a wall up or something like that. But have you heard any congressmen or senators that are in office right now? I mean, even the candidates out there that are senators, Rubio and Cruz and Rand Paul, current senators in the U.S. Senate right now. I don't hear anybody talking boo about putting a wall up or how they're going to do it. And they've been talking about it for years and years and years. It's just not a game changer in terms of putting money in their wallets.
No, you're right. And I guarantee you, Trump is the only one talking about it because he is self-funded. He doesn't have to depend on the Republican machine to give him money. He doesn't have to depend on super PACs. He's funding his own, and he can say whatever he wants. And that's why people are gravitating toward him. Everybody else, the Jeb Bushes, all of them are funded. They depend on the money of others. And that is our problem.
And it's really starting to show. People are really starting to get nervous. Bush is running out of money. People are really starting to take a harder, more serious look at Trump because he has the money.
That's right.
Now,
well,
I was just going to say that we were on the topic of immigration. I've been on several radio shows this past couple of weeks talking about Jerry Brown just signed legislation that here in California, illegal aliens can get a driver's license. That was put into law January 1st, 2015. Now, when you go to register, renew your license, get a new license, you can also register to vote. Isn't that convenient? So we need to talk about the padded vote here. The Dems have been padding their party through illegals being able to vote since 1993, when Clinton made it the National Voting Rights Act that he made in 1993. And that was all very quiet. Did anybody ever hear about that before Trump started to make his way to the top speaking about immigration?
Of course not.
No, we were asked not to talk about it.
Exactly. So anybody that was running, for Republican or a Democrat was told, these are the things you're going to talk about. These are the things that you're going to not talk about. These are what we're going to, you know, and it's been going on for many, many, many years. So immigration is killing California.
Well, let me tell you something else that is an unspoken rule that you don't talk about, and they don't want you talking about it, and they don't want you bringing it up, and that is the Muslim situation. I'm going to bring it up because I'm not afraid, but they are so scared to death, they don't want to bring up anything about Sharia law or the Muslims or what's going on in this country. They don't want to discuss it. It comes from the top. It comes from the White House. They won't even recognize it as a problem. And I'm not saying all Muslims are bad. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we have a problem. Anne Marie knows, a friend of ours, Frank Gaffney, he has been saying this for years and years and years. It's happening. What you see happening in Europe right now is how it's going to be happening here. You mark my words. Frank has said it for years. And I'm telling you, that is another rule that you don't break in the Republican Party. You don't talk about it. Anne Marie knows a lot about this.
Well, let's hear it from you, Anne Marie. Tell me.
Well, the thing, like for perfect example, are the Syrian refugees right now. They have no way at all to do background checks on any of them. These people aren't coming here with, you know, documents and papers proving that they weren't child molesters or in jail when they were in Syria. These are mostly men. And when you catch the word refugees, for me personally before this, I always used to think, oh, women and children, they're refugees, they're escaping tyranny. But no, these are mostly young, middle-aged, you know, 20-something men that look very strong. They don't look like they're starving to death. They're coming here free and clear from the top. Like Morgan said, this is straight up from the Obama administration opening this gateway that is going to, it's going to be exactly like it is in Europe. It's going to flood our borders. They're going to come into our towns and our cities. And there's no way at all to these people aren't coming in with driver's license and passports. They're just going to be here. And that's what stealth jihad is all about. And that's something that Frank Gaffney has been talking about for over a decade. Stealth jihad.
We're supposed to feel sorry for these people. The NBC, CBS, ABC, three brain dead networks are trying to make through the news, trying to make us feel sorry for them. It's not going to work. It can't. It has to stop. We cannot continue to allow these people into our country who do not have our best interests.
Well, Nani Darwish, she put it the best way during when they were going through their revolution, you know, to overthrow Mubarak and all that. She said, as long as they're all still fighting the same battle, these are civil wars. They're not fighting against Sharia. They're fighting about how better to implement Sharia. They're not fighting to try to stop beheadings and to stop stoning women to death and throwing gay people off buildings. They're just fighting about how to implement Sharia. So as long as we're allegedly helping two factions that are still fighting the same battle, we're never going to win. And to allow them in and try to say one side is better than the other, no side is no. Good when you mix it with Western civilization.
Well, and there again, they want us to feel sorry for them, and people do not understand Sharia law because regular news networks would never say what Sharia law really is. People would be stopped in their shoes if they knew what Sharia law really was and what it stood for and how it's just supposed to be perfectly acceptable as another form of law in our country. It can't be.
No, but I'll tell you something. This is a Trojan horse that is happening to our country. And I've got to tell you what's happening, because without people even realizing it, you have an infiltration of people coming from other cultures and other areas, and especially the Middle East. They will come into communities like they're doing in Texas, and they will work their way through. They'll get into the education system. They'll get elected to offices, and what are they going to do? They're going to start instituting laws that are pushing the Sharia way. This is happening. People may not know it, they may not see it, but it is happening. It's happening in California. A couple of months ago, there was an election in one of our cities down here in Southern California, where they put two illegal aliens on a city council board to help make laws. Now, this is what this is what is happening, and before you know it, you're gonna have rules and regulations in your schools and in your city council, and you're gonna turn around and say, wait,
yeah.
When did this happen? But it is happening.
Do you know in California, if you're a legal alien, you can sit and take the state bar? This is what I've been going. I've been on all these radio stations, nation to nation, talking about immigration. Yes, you can graduate law school, which I'm sure the taxpayers of California paid for, and then you can sit for the California State Bar. Now, how is that? If that is not insane, tell me what is.
Oh, unbelievable. Wow. I mean, it's just like, you know, the problem is that, you know, these lawmakers here that we have, especially here in California, they're all, we've turned into a completely blue state here over the past 25 years. They recognize this stuff, and they realize this is the sort of thing that people aren't really going to pay attention to. Nobody really cares. And that's why we have, you know, Morgan, Brittany, and Anne-Marie out there talking about this.
Well said, Bob. Very well said.
You know?
Very well said. Maureen,
I know Anne Marie. You said you had to leave a little bit early. I wanted to give you a little bit of time and chat before you have to bolt out of here. So.
Okay. Well, I did want to say one more thing. I don't know if you guys are aware of the Gulen schools in Texas. Have you guys heard about that? The charter schools. GULAN. I was in. Where was I? I think I was in Washington, I'm not sure. I was at a conference, and there's going to be a documentary coming out soon, and it's all about the Turkish charter schools in Texas, and they are all over Texas right now in small towns and big towns, and they're owned and operated by Turkish Muslims. Look it up, because this is something that again is so stealth and so quiet and so seemingly innocent.
And it will just happen. Yep, it will just happen, just like all of a sudden illegal aliens can take the state bar in California. It will just happen, and everybody will say, well, how did that happen?
What happened? Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's the way they do it. But look it up, because it's something that, as a Texan, I had no idea about this. And Karen Lugo Carpenter is an amazing expert on all things Islam, and she's the one who first told me about this. And there's going to be a documentary coming out about it, but it's amazing. Students are allowed to go to Turkey, and they learn about Islam, and they learn about different cultures, and it's all, you know, it's all under the guise of multiculturalism and being open to other faiths and things like that. And that's where it's dangerous, and that's where it begins, and that's where it ends.
Mm. So the Muslims are hitting Texas hard, because they know Texas is Texas, and they don't want Texas to be Texas anymore.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, the Democrat Party is doing the same thing to Texas. They're fighting. Mm. They're working so hard. They can't allow a red state to be successful, because that proves that the Republican Party is the party that is the party that frees slaves, which is what we've been from the beginning. We're not the party of entitlement. We're the party that ends enslavement, which I think should be our slogan. But
No. They want to be the rich white people that hate everything that's not them. You know,
right.
If you don't drive a BMW and go to an Ivy League school and blah blah blah, then you know that's what they think, that we're the elitists, and we're not.
Of course. Yep.
Just the good hard work.
I do have to go, guys. I'm so sorry. I wish I could stay longer, but I've got another appointment this afternoon, and I've got to get going. Thank you so much for having me on, and
I look forward
to listening.
Thank you, Anne-Marie, and we will have everything on our site at the end of the show. We will put everything on www.california-connection.net, and then we will put everything on our fan page for Facebook. So thanks again, Anne-Marie, for joining, and thanks. Morgan is going to be staying on with us for a little bit longer, and we'll learn a little bit more about what you girls are doing, what you ladies are doing.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye, Anne-Marie.
Bye-bye. So Morgan, let's get back to you and I were chatting pre-show. We were chatting a little bit about you went to the the debate with Hillary, the Hillary debate. Let's just call it what it is, the Hillary debate, right, Bob?
Yeah.
Was it anything else? I mean, the Hillary debate. What did you see there? What did you tell us?
Well, it was pretty interesting because I went by myself. None of the other women could go with me. So I just drove to Vegas and decided that I was just going to cover the debates and see what the other side lived like. And believe me, it was nothing like the debate at the Reagan Museum with, the Republican Party. It was nothing. I mean, there was virtually no excitement going on. I walked in and thought, it took us, I think at the Republican debates, it took a couple of hours standing in line to get your credentials. I mean, it was literally so many press people there. Unbelievable. I walked into the Wynn Hotel and I'm walking and I thought I was lost because there were no people around. And I went up to the media desk and I went, is this where I get my credentials? And she goes, oh, yes, it is. And there was no one there.
That is hilarious.
And I thought, wow, this is incredible. So I went into the press room and I noticed that there was nothing going on. So I decided I'd go over to the spin room. There was nothing going on. There was MSNBC was set up. You know, Chris Matthews was doing his thing, whatever. But there was nothing, no excitement. And as I talked to a few of the people there, they were basically saying, this is Hillary's going to get the nomination. None of this other stuff matters. And I said, well, what about the other people? I said, there's Jim Webb and there's O'Malley and there's Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's coming up, and they all kind of shook their heads and went, yeah, whatever. They really didn't care. And so as the day went on, I was just kind of hanging around and trying to listen what I could. I talked to some Bernie Sanders supporters who had absolutely no clue what socialism was. I totally asked them. I said, do you know what it is? Can you tell me what it is? We're just going to get our free education and we're going to get health care for everybody. And I said, who's going to pay for this? And they said, oh, the 1%, the rich 1% that have been taking from us all these years. This was their attitude. And I went, really? I said, and you don't think socialism is a bad thing? Oh, no, it's a good thing. So,
and you should ask them how many rich 1%ers are one percenters are Democrats. Quite a few.
Yeah. It just was unbelievable. But the most interesting thing I heard, I was sitting outside of the spin room, and it was getting close to airtime where they were bringing the candidates down and through. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz walked by with her posse of women, you know, that were surrounding her. And I could hear their conversation as they were coming down the hall, and they passed right in front of me. And I caught a few snippets of what they were saying, and as they passed by me, one of the girls said, what I could catch was problem with Bernie Sanders. And as they passed by, Debbie Wasserman Schultz kind of waved her hand, and she went, don't worry, it's handled.
So, yeah, one of the things that I was going to mention to you, Morgan, because you hit upon a really interesting point there about the Democrats and the entitlements and so forth. I think it goes back to 2006, 7, and 8, and what I'm especially 2007 and 8. Where I'm going with this is that Barack Obama, when he was the senator and he was running, and Hillary Clinton back then in 2008 for president. They made it very, very proactive in telling the people out there to go out and register to vote. And I didn't hear John McCain or anybody else from the Republican side so enthusiastic about getting the people out to vote. So what happened because of that is there are so many more Democrats registered out there than Republicans. So it just becomes a numbers game, right? So many people have registered for Democrats. So even even if those people don't even understand what you're talking about in terms of entitlement, in terms of socialism, they don't even know what they're doing. If they just vote their party, Morgan, it's not going to matter, is it? I mean, things, it's just, again, if it's just a numbers game, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're going to have a third term of Barack Obama coming out in 2016, and it's very sad to have to say that. But, you know, if you're just talking about numbers, that's the problem. I think where the Republicans really need to do is get a grassroots effort and start getting people to register as Republicans, so at least there's going to be that challenge there in 2016.
Bob, yeah. Let me stop you there. That's what Donald Trump is doing right now. He's basically a grassroots effort. He is the one that's out there telling everybody how it is. He is putting it
Why isn't everybody else doing that? If they're really serious about making a run at the presidency, why haven't I heard Ben Carson or Jeb Bush or any of these other people out there? Even if they don't have a chance, they should be out there supporting their party, right? I mean, didn't they all? Donald Trump was the only one who raised his hand when he asked that one question: are you going to support anybody else who wins the nomination? Everybody else said yes. I will support anybody else who wins it. They just don't want Hillary Clinton in there. Well, you know, look, if you're sitting on your hands and not telling people to register Republican, it ain't going to matter.
Yeah, it's not going to matter. You're right. And we, you know, really, if you think about it, Anne Marie and Dr. Gina and I go out into the middle of this country, the heartland of this country. We do events in Arkansas and Missouri and Iowa and all these places. And I've got to tell you, there are so many of us who think like this, who are fed up, who have had it. And many, many, many of them, we were in Nashville with Donald Trump, and it was amazing. It was amazing to see the people that are gravitating toward him because of what he's saying. But you're right. He was saying, everybody, we got to get our friends, we got to get people, we got to get to the polls, because you're right, the Democrats are going to go vote for Santa Claus. Whoever's going to give them the most stuff, that's who they're going to vote for. We are a large group of people, but we've got to really get people out. People sat on their hands when Mitt Romney was the candidate. They stayed home. They didn't vote for him. If those people had gone out and voted, Romney would have been in office and not Obama. So we have to really, really energize the base. But here's a problem. Here's our problem. We've got our own party fighting against the grassroots. We've got sabotage going on against Donald Trump in Iowa. We've got huge organizations buying ads demeaning Trump, trying to get him out of the race. Now, you guys tell me, how are we going to fight that if our own party is fighting our own candidates?
Well, and then we go back again to what you said earlier, Morgan, is the money. Donald Trump is not listening to anybody but his own self.
Yeah.
Everybody else is driven. And so this is the first time this has ever happened. So, of course, nobody knows what to do. They don't know what to do with this guy. They don't know what to do with him. If he goes out there and says the sky is falling, his points go up. He can do whatever and say whatever. He still has the lead. He still is the popular. He's still what everybody wants. He is, and so I think therein lies the problem, that people don't know what to do because we've never had this before. We've never had a leader in either the Republican or Democratic Party run in his own money. Usually
Ross Perot tried to do that. Of course, he didn't get as much.
Yeah, but he ran. Yeah, see, you didn't let me finish, Bob, because what I was going to say was anybody else who's tried has not gotten nearly this far.
Good point.
That's right.
Yep.
And you know something, Bob? The elites in the Republican Party, they thought Donald Trump would have imploded by now. They thought he would be no threat by now. And they are absolutely fit to be tied that this man is still hitting the top of the polls. They're panicking now because they don't know what to do. You're absolutely right, Maureen. You're right. It's the money. They're the ones in control of the money. They pull everybody's strings. They can't pull Trump's strings. They can't do it.
And it's driving them crazy.
They
thought they could it's just going to take more and more time for him to get farther and farther down the road to realize they can't touch him.
Well, let me put a question to both of you. Morgan, why don't you answer this one first and then Maureen right afterwards. How long do you think it'll take before the others, the other candidates, capitulate and start throwing their support behind Donald Trump? Because, look, I mean, you know, Scott Walker is out, and they, you know, I think we'll get one or two more people that are probably going to drop out after the next debate in a couple weeks. But they haven't thrown their support behind Donald Trump at all, even though he's the front runner. Well, at what point and what time do you think that they're going to do that? They're going to capitulate? Morgan?
Honestly, I don't know that they will. Because, like I said, they're being controlled by the Republican Party. They are. And so I don't know that they are, because the threats that come down, I swear to you, this is like, it's like that TV show House of Cards, you know. this kind of stuff goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But the only person that I see who's really supporting Trump on the sidelines is Ted Cruz. They seem to have a really good relationship going on for some reason. They seem to be supporting each other for some reason. I don't know whether it's a – I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. But Cruz seems to be in Trump's corner quite a bit. He doesn't say anything bad about him. He doesn't trash him. He doesn't do anything. But I'm telling you, Rand Paul is probably not going to last too much longer. The lower tier people who I really like. I like Bobby Jindal. I think he's wonderful, but he's not getting any traction anywhere. I think a lot of these people are going to start falling by the wayside. But believe me, there will be an effort to take Trump out by not only the Democrats, but his own party. And it's going to be very obvious, and that is going to turn the grassroots really angry. When they see that starting to happen, that's going to make them really mad.
And doesn't that fight the goal that they're trying to do is just, you know, any, you know, ABH, anybody but Hillary? I mean, isn't that the goal? I mean, okay, it could be Bozo the Clown as long as he has some policies that are at least friendly for business and for economic growth and whatever. You know, anybody but Hillary. I mean, it's just if they do that, Morgan, I think we're going to be doomed for another 4 years.
Yeah.
Now, I've been saying it since the minute he threw his hat in the ring. Nobody's going to beat him. He's going to win. He's going to get the nomination. And he's got the money. He's got the money. He's got the know-how. He's got what we need. He's got somebody who will tell it like it is and tell us where the problems are. Now, I heard somebody ask me the other day. I was almost knocked off my feet, which is not easy. Well, I only have one foot right now because I have surgery, but seriously. Somebody had said to me, but if he wins the nomination, oh, my gosh, then he's going to have to debate Hillary, and Hillary is just going to destroy him. And I had to, like, check my level of pain medication that I was on for this foot surgery. I was like, am I hearing things? I could not believe that. Now, seriously.
That is crazy. There, he would annihilate her. I mean, there would be, it's no contest. I mean, anybody on that stage the other night would take her out in a heartbeat. Because look at the debate. Even in Vegas, when I was at the Democrat debates, even the people in the press room that were hardcore liberals were shaking their heads going, wow, could this be more of a setup for Hillary? I mean, there is no competition. There is nobody up there who's saying anything. She has got this slam dunk. Absolutely, because it was a setup. But you put a Carly Fiorina up there against her. You put Chris Christie up against her.
Oh, no, would just eat her alive. I mean, it would just be no contest. So anyways, well, we only have a few more minutes left.
Yep, I got to go too. Yep.
Morgan, we could talk about this forever, and we will. We are going to be bringing you back many more times so we can talk through this. This is going to be such a fun election.
Okay.
I mean, we're still so far away from it. So anyways, everybody, go to politichicks.com. Morgan, Brittany, Anne-Marie Morrell, and Dr. Help me, Anne-Marie.
Dina Loudon.
Dina Loudon wrote the book, What Women Really Want. That title, enough, should entice you to go buy that book. Anyways, thank you so much for being with us today, Morgan. We look forward to many more times with you, like we said, and let us know, too, what's going on. If you're at any other debates, send us an email. Let us know. Tell us what was going on. We'd love to hear about it.
You got it. Okay. Well, the whole Dallas crew is going to be down at the LAX airport tomorrow doing a Dallas reunion autograph signing.
I'm actually flying to Fort Worth tomorrow morning, Morgan. I'll be at LAX. I'm leaving at about 7 o'clock in the morning, so we're probably just going to be passing each other. But
it's so exciting. I'm seeing 13 of the cast members I haven't seen in years, and I'm so excited.
Morgan, can I beg you for an autograph from Patrick Duffy? I named my son after him.
I'll see what I can do. Okay.
Would you please? Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you again for joining us. We look forward to having you back. And let's, you know, keep that message. Keep the message. Keep the message. Keep the message, right?
You got it. Thanks,
all
guys.
Right.
Thanks, Morgan.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye, Morgan.
Bye.
Wow. The Republican Party has got so many great people fighting and coming out of the woodwork. Who would have known? Brittany.
Let's just hope and pray that the rest of the country, who, you know, so suddenly wises up and listens to the message that these ladies and our show sends to
people. Our show, yes.
Yeah, trying to get this country turned around, Maureen. I mean, come on. We've been talking about, you know, we get excited, we get our blood starts flowing and the adrenaline starts going when we think about the possibilities here that, you know, finally this regime, this imperial regime is going to end in a year or so, or 14 months. And what do we need, Maureen? But you said the other, we just need a fresh start, right? I mean, let's get some energy here, you know. There's just no energy in the country here, right?
No, yeah. I mean, Hillary Clinton, I still say she can hardly walk. Come on.
Oh, please. Well, listen. I mean, yeah. Anyway. Listen, I would give anything to see one of these candidates, whether they are Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, getting even Christie, you know, who's probably the bulldog too, getting on her, getting, you know, face to face with her, and let's see if she can spin her way out of anything they bring to the table.
Well, I'm sorry to say I called it from the very beginning when he threw the hat in.
You did.
It's going to be him.
You did.
Yep. It's going to be him.
Wait.
It's going to be.
You were the first one, and I chuckled. I laughed. I have to admit,
mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I chuckled. Mm-hmm. I laughed. You got to be kidding me. Really. But you had all the facts. You presented it very, very cogently and fairly and objectively.
This guy
is going to turn things around, you know?
Yeah. So on that note, we've got to close. But on that note, somebody's going to be buying me dinner.
I guess it's going to be me.
But it's going to be great, though, isn't it? It's going to be a great celebratory dinner because, you know. Anyways, thanks again for joining us, Bob. It was great to be back with you, a little bit more coherent. Sorry last week to our listeners. I had foot surgery. I was pretty medicated up. I was actually in the hospital doing the show from the hospital, from my hospital bed.
Sure.
So I apologize if anybody thought that I was a little bit, I don't know what. But thanks again, and we'll see everybody next week, which will be a brand new month.
Thanks, Maureen. Have a happy Halloween, everyone, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a great weekend.
Happy Halloween, and thanks from everyone at LA Talk Radio. And don't forget to listen to California Connection every Friday at 4 o'clock. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.